Begin the current daf masech, the sukkah daf lamed ches. We begin 6 lines down from the top of the yamid, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the theme of these two parakim, regarding talking about the halachas of the dalminim of the 4 types that are taken on the yamid of the sukkahs. So the Mishnah tells us, Misha babadech, if someone was coming on the road, b'lahoyi biyodai lulav lito, and he didn't have a lulav to take, which he had the mitzvah of netilas lulav on the day of sukkahs. So the halacha is likishikonis lebeisa, when he comes home, when he comes to his house, yitel ha-shulchan, he should take it by his table. Now what does that terminology mean by his table? So Rashi explains, as Gemara will elaborate, that what it means to say is, if let's say the person finally got home, and he forgot, and he didn't take the mitzvah of the lulav, before he started eating, he would have to stop his meal, which means al-shulchan, stop what you're doing, take the lulav, and then one could continue eating. Now, loynot al shachris, the Mishnah concludes and says, if someone didn't take the lulav in the morning, yitl ben abayim, so then they should take it in the evening. Shakala yem kasha lulav. Like, although, as we mentioned in the previous Mishnah, the halacha is, one should have netilas lulav when one says hal, which is done in the morning tefillah. However, if one did not take it in the morning, one could do it the entire day, all the way till the evening. Now, the Gemara makes the dik. Amrit, you said, noitla al shulchanoi, as we had alluded to this in the Mishnah, that you take it by your table. So remember the mafsik. What that sounds like it's saying is that if one was coming and they finally got home, they started eating and they forgot, he has to interrupt his meal, even al shulchanoi. On that, the Gemara asks, Ramini, however, there's a Mishnah that's brought down in Masechta Shabbos, which talks about regarding the tefillah of mincha, which the Mishnah there says that a person should not sit down in front of the barber, or should not enter to go to eat, or to adjudicate a court case, that if it's before the time of mincha. Now, however, the Mishnah there says, im hischilu, if they began before mincha, although it's the time period before where one should not begin, but if one did begin, and the suda continued going, and it's already zman mincha, the Mishnah says that, im avsikin, we do not interrupt, which means that the person does not have to stop his meal and to go daven. He could first finish his meal, and then he could go ahead and daven. So the Gemara is asking, why is it any different than tilis lulav? Why is mincha, where we say that a person shouldn't start, but he did start, even though he has the mitzvah waiting for him, he could first finish his meal and then daven. So why is the halacha of lulav any different? Why don't we say first let him finish his meal, and then he'll be able to take the lulav afterwards? So that Amr of Safar. Rav Safar answers, loy kasha, it's not a contradiction. Because ha, over there in the Mishnah Masech, the Shabbos, the ikashois bayayim, where the person still has time after he finishes eating his meal to go ahead and daven mincha after he finishes. So therefore, we let him finish first. Ha, however, our Mishnah over here is the Lekashayis Bayim, where there would be no time, his meal would continue going all the way up until it's the evening time. And because of that, we say that person has to fulfill his mitzvah of lulav that day, so therefore he has to first take the lulav and then he continue eating his meal. But there's no contradiction, there's no difference between lulav and davening. The only difference is, each case was talking about different parameters if there was time afterwards, after the meal is done, to go ahead and fulfill the mitzvah. Now, on that, Amar Rava, Rava asks, says, I don't understand, he says, my kusha, what was the question in the first place of posing a contradiction from the halachas of tefillah to the halachas of our Mishnah of lulav, where Rav Safra had to go ahead and give an answer for that? But Dilma, maybe both of them are talking about that there is enough time. You could finish your meal and you'll have enough time to fulfill your mitzvah, be it lulav, be it davening. But ha, over here in our Mishnah, where it's talking about by lulav, where we say you have to stop, even though you have time afterwards, is because deraisa, the mitzvah taking the lulav, is a biblical mitzvah. Ha, however, there regarding in the Mishnah Masechet Shabbos, we're talking about tefillah, is only drabbanan. It's only rabbinic to daven the nusach of the tefillah of mincha. And therefore, what's the contradiction? What are you asking to say that, oh, one's talking about there is time, one's talking about there's not time? What do you mean? Let's say they're both talking about time. It still would be fundamentally different that you can't even pose the question in the first place, because here it's deraisa, it's drabbanan. So Elamur of, or rather Rabbi says that, ikasha, if there was any question that we would need Rav Safra to give an answer for, Hakasha, it would be the following question, which would be internal contradiction in the halachas of lulav itself, in our Mishnah, from the Reisha to the Seifa. And that is because our Mishnah began and said, Likashikanis Lebesa, when he does come home, Noitle al Shulchanai, so then he takes it by his table. So as we had made the dig, Alma de Mifsik. Obviously, you have to interrupt your meal, then go ahead and do the Ntilis lulav. Yet v'hadar tani, then the Sefer of our Mishnah teaches that loy notl shachris, if someone did not take the lulav in the morning, yitl ben arbaim, he could take it in the evening. Now that sounds like that if he wants to, he could wait, because you have time all day to go ahead and do it. You didn't take it in the morning, that's okay, you could take it in the evening, it doesn't make a difference, the mitzvah is all day. So I'm a loy mivsig. So obviously we see from the end of the Mishnah that you don't interrupt, because you have time to go ahead and fulfill it. That's the contradiction. On that, I'm Rav Safra. That's where Rav Safra came to answer the Loi Kasha. No, that's not a difficulty. Because ha, the case of the Sefer was talking about the Ikar Shoyes Bayam, where there's still time. So yes, you didn't take it in the morning, it's okay, because you have time to go ahead and fulfill it. Ha, the case of the Reisha was the Lekar Shoyes Bayam, where there is no time. And therefore you have to stop your meal in the middle, because if you're not going to have time, so of course you have to stop. But it wasn't that he was answering regarding the Mishnah Shabbos to our Mishnah over here. It was in our Mishnah itself, the Reisha and the Sefer, one was talking about that there is time, and therefore you don't have to stop, and it's okay. And the other one was talking about there's no time, and therefore you have to stop your meal in the middle to take the lulav. Now on that, I'm Rabzera asks on Rava's interpretation, same question that Rava had asked on the first interpretation. Rabzera says, my kusha, what does that mean? What type of question is that in our mission itself even? Dilma mitzvah suke. Maybe our mission is saying that there's a mitzvah to go ahead and stop because maybe you're going to forget and you'll be negligent. Now, that was what the ratio of the Mishnah would be saying. Like, stop your meal. Go ahead and do the lulav. Now, the Eloi Pasig, that the end of the Mishnah came to say, and that if you didn't stop, Yitl Ben Abayim, then you could still go ahead and take it all the way till the evening, Shakol Yom Kasha Lulav, because the entire day is Kasha Lulav. What type of contradiction is that? They're not contradicting each other if you have to stop or not. It's saying you should stop, because you might be negligent. But if you didn't, that's okay too, because the mitzvah is the whole entire day. So therefore, El Amr Abzir, rather Abzir says, that Le'olam, the truth is, that this that we needed Rav Safra to resolve the contradiction, was Kedamrin Mikar. It's like we had initially said before Ravas had asked and then changed the question. It was because the first question that we had asked from the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos. Now, with the Kashalach, but if you have the question that Rava had posed, what do you mean? What type of question is it? Hadai Raisa, our Mishnah is talking about a biblical commandment, and Hadai Rabbanon, over there is talking about Tefillah, which is only rabbinic in the nature of going ahead to daven the Nusach of Mincha. And that is what Rav Zeira would say, that's not a question. In other words, our question was a good question because the question on the question is not a question. And that is because, Hacha, B'yom Tov Sheni D'Rabban Askinan. Our Mishnah is not talking about a biblical commandment. We're talking about the second days of Yom Tov, which are only rabbinic and taking the lulav. And therefore, it comes out that it is a good contradiction because both of them are talking about rabbinic mitzvahs. Hereby, lulav is rabbinic and thereby, tefillah is rabbinic. And that's why we have to give the answer of saying, okay, it's not a difficulty because our Mishnah is talking about that there's no time afterwards. So you got to stop, even though it's rabbinic. There's so much that there is time, and therefore you don't have to stop. As the Gemara says, Dekanami. Actually, it's more precise that way to say that our Mishnah is talking about, not like Rava had assumed, that it's Deiraisa, but rather it's Rabbanan. Midiktani, from the fact that our Mishnah had learned, Misha Baba Derech Ve'embiyah De Lulav, it's talking about someone that's coming on the road, and he didn't have a Lulav with him. Now, the Isa G'daitech B'yam Tev Rishon, and if you would assume, as Rava did, that it's talking about on the first day of Yom Tov, B'sukkos, and that it's talking about a biblical mitzvah, Mishari, is it permitted? As Taisa explains, that our Mishnah is saying that someone is coming on the road and he comes home and he takes a lulav, it sounds like he was coming from a faraway place and that's where he's coming to his home, which is not what someone's doing on the first day of Yom Tov when you have all the halachas of being home and not walking out of the tchum and all the different parameters, and therefore it definitely is more meduic to say that it's actually talking about not on the day of Yom Tov, rather let's say one of the days of Chol HaMoed. And that's what we're saying, since rabbinic in nature, that's why we pose the contradiction between tefillah and over here. And that's again what we had answered, that there's a difference if there was time afterwards or if there was no time afterwards. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, a continuation of the Mishnah before this Mishnah, which was on the previous daf, regarding the halachas of Hal, as we had introduced, because the nanuim, the shaking of the lulav, are done in Hal. So now the Mishnah discusses halachas of Hal. Misha haya eved oy isha oy katan makronos. If somebody had either a servant or a woman or a minor that was reciting Hal for him. And as Rashi explains, that their custom was that one person would recite the Hal, and he would fulfill the chiyuv of the public. Now, that is what our Mishnah is saying, that if that person who's being makre, who's reciting it for everybody, and they'll fulfill the chiyuv through him, was a servant or a woman or a minor, since they're not obligated in this mitzvah, so they're not able to fulfill those who are listening to them of their chiyuv, because you have to be yourself obligated to be able to fulfill the other people's chiyuvim. Therefore, our Mishnah says, what do you do? So you have to repeat, you have to answer everything that they say, because whatever they're saying cannot fulfill your chiyuv by listening to them, because that would only be if they themselves were mechuyuv. So first of all, you have to repeat everything they say. And second of all, our Mishnah says, v'tov le'me'era, that it should come across to such a person that's using these individuals, the minor, the woman, and the slave, to fulfill their chiyuv, because obviously that means the person never learned how to read, and such a curse should come to such a person because he should invest that time to know how to learn. And if he learned and he knows how to recite Hal, then for sure he should be cursed, because he's disgracing his creator, because he's making such messengers for him, which is not appropriate, because they're not even mechuyev, and therefore a me'er should come to a person that's using these individuals to be makri for them. However, if there was an adult that was reciting it for the person, then you do not have to repeat everything that they say. Rather, ayna achrav halaluka. They just respond after him, halaluka. In other words, everything that he says, they recite halaluka. And he says the next part, say halaluka. And this is how it says in the Gemara Masech Desilit and Aflamad Beis, that how did the Jewish people say the Shira, the Oz Yashar, by the Yamsuf? So on that, the Gemara there says, like a gadol, exactly the halacha of our Mishnah, that's makres ahal, who he recites the halal, and everyone answers after him, halaluka. So therefore, that was similar to what was by the Klal Yisrael, by the Yamsuf, where Moshe Rabbeinu said, Ashir Lashem, and everyone answered, Ashir Lashem, and then Moshe said, Ki goy go. And again, they said, Ashir Lashem, and everything he said in the next pasuk, and they said again, Ashir Lashem. So you see that everything that's said, they recite the same refrain, which in the context of halal is halaluka. And he says, the next pasuk, they say halaluka. But again, it's not like a minor that you have to repeat every word because he's not fulfilling your obligation, he's just teaching you the words and you're repeating it. Here, by an adult, where you can fulfill yechiv through him, you just repeat halaluka. Now, the Mishnah tells us that makom shenagu lichvol, in a place, in such a city or a location where their custom is to repeat the words, then yichvol, then they could repeat every single pasuk. Now, what that is because, as Rashi explains, there's many times throughout halal where part of the text of the halal is repetitive, is redundant. We find by the parak which talks about Haidu, we start off Haidu in the beginning of that, and we end off with Haidu again. We say Yoyim Rina, that pasuk, three times. We say Karasi Ka, and another Merchav Ka. We say Hashem Li, Hashem Li. Tev Lachzis, Tev Lachzis. Sevavuni, Sabuni. Dochai, Dichisani. Vahidli Lishua, Karina Vishua. Yimin Hashem, Yimin Hashem. Loi Omis, Bulam Avis Loi Nisanani. Pischuli Shari, Zehashar. Now, so therefore, since there's many repetitiveness, so there are those who had the custom to be kaifal everything, to repeat everything, to follow that style. Now, however, from Oidcha and to the end of Halal, where that's not intrinsically doubled, it's not a doubled pasuk, that's where the Gemara says later in Lama Tesum and Aleph, that there were those, which is what the Mishnah, what the Halacha of our Mishnah is saying, that Makom Shenagu Lichvol, there were those who would repeat from Oidcha and on. They would say Aitcha and say the Pasuk again, and all the Pasuk Zahayim, and then say the whole Pasuk again. Again, that was Makom Shenagu Lichvol, then Yichvol. But Lifshay Yifshay, if it's a place where they just say it plain, so then say it plain and don't repeat it, because there are those which are intrinsic, that they are repeated. They're repeated in the context of how they're written. But then the other Pasuk that are straight, some have the custom to recite everything doubled, and some don't. So you have to go according to the Makom HaMedina. Levarach Yevarach. If it's a place where their custom is to make a bracha after halal, then you make the bracha again. Hakol kiminig medina. Everything goes according to the custom of the place where a person goes. That's what the halacha is. And now in the context of halal, it's the same type of halacha. Now the Gemara says, "Turn by the Bryce," and this is regarding what the Mishnah started off with, this idea of having someone that's not the gadol that's fulfilling your chiv for you. So the Brisa says, Be'emes Amru. In truth, they said, now, wherever it says the term Be'emes, that means that that's the halacha and that nobody argues on this. Ben Mevarach Lav. A son can make the bracha, which means to say he could do Birchas Hamazon for his father, which means to say that when he reaches the age of Chinuch, when he's obligated Midrabanan, it's a rabbinic obligation for him to do Birchas Hamazon, now he can fulfill his chiv, let's say his father also washed and ate, the son can bench for his father. And the father could listen to that. Now, the Gemara Masech Tes Brachas of Chavim Beis explains that it must be talking about where the father only ate a kezayis or a kebeya, depending on which shear you go like, which would only be a rabbinic shear. Because midairaisa, he's not mechuyev until he's satiated, which as the pasuk says, v'yachalta v'savato v'rach, you have to be satiated. Now, since he's only required rabbinically when he eats a shear of a kezayis, so the son, who when he eats, would that be even a shir of Sviya, would only be a rabbin chiv, then he could fulfill his father's chiv, because then they're equal, because they're both mechuyev midrabanan. Same thing is ve'evin mevarach l'rabbi, a slave could bench for his master, ve'ishim mevarachas labayla, and the woman can make a bracha for her husband. Av'am chacham ha'am chacham said, and this is similar to the idea, the concept that was conveyed in our Mishnah, that Tave Me'eru La'adam, a curse should come to a person, She'ishti Uvanim Mevarachan Lo, that he has his wife and his kids making the brachas of him, because this must be that he definitely did not learn, and he doesn't know how to do it, and that's inappropriate that a person didn't learn how to recite the words of benching. So that's the same concept the Brice is conveying, as our Mishnah said that although one could go ahead and have the Eved or the Ish or the Katan that could be Makri for him, the Hal, and then he repeats everything that he said. So similar concept over here by Birch Samazin, where they're both Mukhevim the Rabbanan, and therefore the son even could fulfill the obligation of the father. However, that's not appropriate. He should learn how to learn himself, and therefore it's a Me'eru comes to the Adam. He could fulfill it that way, but it's not appropriate. Now the Gemara continues with what we mentioned at the second part of our Mishnah regarding the different minhagim that we have by Halal. So Amar Rav Rava says, we continue on to Amad Beis, Hilchasa Gevirta. There are some great halachas that Ikala Mishma Minhaga de Halalia that we could learn out from the customs of Halal. In other words, from what we see, Rava says that in our days, our customs are in Shul, what our minhag is in Halal, we could learn out many different halachas from our minhagim. Now, as the Gemara will explain, because their minhag was specifically very similar to the minhag as it is today, is that they would start off repeating the refrain of Halukah only two times in the beginning. Then they would say the entire Halal, everyone would recite it themselves together with the Makre, the Shleich Tzibur, up until they get up to Haidu. Then the Shleich Tzibur would say Haidu, they would respond after him. Then they would continue saying the Halal together themselves with him until they got to Anhashamay Shiyana, where they would respond after him on Hashem Ashiyana, and they would respond after him on Hashem Atzlichana, like we do. Now, as Rashi says, this was not the way that originally, before the times of Rava, how they had said Halal. Because actually, in the days of when they had originally instituted, they had recited Halalukah on every single refrain, every single phrase that the Makri said, as our Mishnah says over here, and as the Gemara says in Masechta Sota, as we had mentioned before. Now, on that, Rava says that from the minhag as it is today, we learn out what was the ikkar, what was the primary principle of reciting Halal when they had originally instituted. Now, the reason is because, really, everyone is mechuyev in reciting the Halal. But however, not everyone is a bakir, not everyone's proficient in reciting the Halal. So what they did is they instituted that one person will recite it, and everyone will respond. Now, and everyone will listen, and then they'll respond a little bit. Now, however, on that, what Rava said, that now all the people in Shul are proficient, they're all bekin, they all know how to recite, so everyone says it on their own. However, they still retained certain elements of how it used to be, which was they responded two times in the morning in the beginning of the Halalukah, they responded to Haidu Lashem, they responded to Anna. Now that Rava says, from there we learn out specific halachas of what it was originally instituted for the response of someone that's not a baki and someone that's a baki. They retained certain structures to teach us these lessons, although everyone really could say it themselves, and then most of it they did say themselves. They retained certain elements to teach us halachas of what it was. And now Rava explains in detail. He says, from this that our custom is, that hu oimer, that the makri, the one who is reciting the halal, which would be the shlich tzibur, that he starts off and he says, he begins halal, he says halaluka. Now vehein, now we're quiet, we answer afterwards, oimrim halaluka, we say halaluka, and now at that point, the shlich tzibur, he's quiet. And we don't start together with him to conclude as we do the rest of halal, where we say together with him. We first let him say halaluka, then we respond halaluka. From that we learn, mikan shemitzah lanas halaluka, that it's a mitzah to respond halaluka when we begin the halal, even for the bikin, even for those who aren't proficient that say the halal themselves, still there's a mitzah, we start off, he says halaluka, and everyone responds halaluka. Now, from this, our minhag is a second idea, that hu oimer, that he says, after he says halaluka, he continues the pasuk, he says halalu abdi Hashem, that they should say praise the servants of Hashem, the hein oimrim halaluka, and now a second time they respond halaluka. Now, the rest of halal, the minhag is, as we do, that everyone says together with the makri, they say it themselves. Now, from this that we learn that they say a second time halaluka, mikan, from here we see that the original takana was Shim Hayu Gadol Makri, so that if the Gadol, if the one that's fulfilling everyone's chiyah was reciting for everyone else, in Achrav Haluka, that everyone responds, they don't say the words, because either it's talking about someone that's not a baki, or even someone that's a baki, but it doesn't conclude himself. Rather, he relies on the Makri. So then it's enough to just respond Haluka on everything he says. He says a pasuk, you say Haluka. He says the next pasuk, you say Haluka. Now, that's why they retained in the days of Rava, the original minig, to rely on the first pasuk when he says Hallelujah Avdi Hashem on the Makri and just to respond Hallelujah is so that we should know what the original takana was, that we shouldn't forget that it is permitted the entire Hal to just rely on the Makri and just respond Hallelujah by someone that's not a Baki. So we want to remind people, remind them, although everyone knows now how to say, but if it were ever to come a time and someone wouldn't know, but someone would have a sitter and he wouldn't know how to respond, he wouldn't know how to say the words, so he could just hear the pasuk and say Hallelujah and keep responding Hallelujah. That's why we retained. So the first Hallelujah is to teach that we always start off with a Hallelujah responding, and then the next Hallelujah after Hallelujah of the Hashem is to teach this for the, at least for the Enebaki, for the one that's not proficient, that he could just respond Hallelujah. The third Halacha that we learn that is Hu Omer Haydu Hashem. The Makri says Haydu Hashem, and they're quiet, and afterwards they respond Veheinayim Haydu Hashem, and they also say Haydu Hashem. What does that teach? Mikan Shemitzvah Nis Rashi Prakam. From here we see that it's a mitzvah to respond by the beginning of the chapters. And that is, by the beginning of the chapters, they have to respond regarding the beginning of the chapters themselves. And it's not enough how we do after every pasuk. Let's say we're going to say Hallelujah. You have to say exactly the beginning of the chapter. So it's Hoyd Lashem, so you respond Hoyd Lashem. Now, however, us that we recite the entire things, all individuals do it themselves, so we don't have to. We don't repeat the refrain of every beginning of every chapter, of every parak. But this, they retained this one by Haydu Lashem, so that we shouldn't forget the original takana for someone that does not conclude himself, that he should remember if he's not reciting it himself and he's answering Hallelujah, that the beginning of every parak he has to say the words of that beginning of the parak himself. It menami simul learned. Amrav Chan bar Rava, mitzolan is Rosh Parakim. The mitzvah is to respond by the beginning of the parakim. And again, we don't do that because we do say it ourselves. But if we didn't, then besides saying Hallelujah after every pasuk, we would also say the beginning of every parak. Fourth halacha we learn now from our minig is Hu Omer An Hashem Hayishiyana. So the Makre, the one who's reciting it for the tzibur, he says An Hashem Hayishiyana, please Hashem help. The Hein Omer An Hashem Hayishiyana, and they respond An Hashem Hayishiyana. Now this is not why they're repeating it, because it's from the Rosh Hashanah. It's not from the beginning of the parak. Now, so why did we retain this minig of repeating An Hashem Hayishiyana? That's a sign for the Ikar Takana of someone that's relying on the Makre that sometimes he does have to repeat every word that the Makri himself says. Now, Mikan, what that teaches is, Shim Hayikotin Makri Oisai, if let's say it was a minor that was going up to the Amid and he was reciting for everyone, Einin Acher of Mashu Amid, they have to repeat everything that he says, as we learned in our Mishnah, where since the Katan himself is not Mechoyi B'davar, so therefore, since he's not a Gadol, we cannot be Yoitza Archiv through him. That's different, as we had mentioned in the Brisa, Berichas HaMasin, where you could be Mechoyi B'Rabbanan, and the Katan who is a Barachi in the could also be Mechoyim D'Rabbanan, so you can fulfill your Chiyiv, although it's Me'er La'adam because you didn't learn. Our Mishnah is a Chiyiv, and it always remains the same Chiyiv, be it Divrei Kabbalah, and the Katan doesn't have that type of Chiyiv, so we cannot fulfill it through him, so he can recite it, but it's just so that we know the words, so we can repeat it after him, because we can't read it, the words from the Siddur, and therefore, that's why we repeat An Hashem Hayishiyana, is we're just teaching this lesson that sometimes you have to repeat every word, because when the Katan is the Makri. The fifth halacha that we learn is Hu Omer An Hashem Atzlichana. The Makri says, please Hashem, help us succeed now. Now, they listen, the people of the Tzibur, and then they respond, V'hein Omer An Hashem Atzlichana. They repeat the same words, An Hashem Atzlichana. Now, that's a simen that we retain, that we should know, Mikan Shem Bo Lichvol, that if they're coming to repeat the words of Hal, that Kaifol, that they could repeat it, just like this was repeated. Now, how is this repeated? Because, as the Gemara will shortly say, this halachic concept that we utilize, which is the whole fundamental of what we're saying here in the Hal, for someone that's listening, is the halach of Shemeya Ka'ina. When you hear it, it's like you said it yourself. Now, here when the Makri first said the Pasuk, which is Tomar Gadol, he says, An Hashem Hatzlichana, you heard it, it's as if you said it. Now when the Tzibur repeats An Hashem Hatzlichana, so that itself is a doubling of it. Now Rashi just clarifies, he says, all these halachas that Rav is saying, Mikan, that from here you see this halacha, and from there you see that halacha, that when the katan is makre, that's when we're repeating An Hashem Hayishiyana, and when we're saying An Hashem Hatzlichana, we're repeating it, is because when we're coming to double the words, as we said in our Mishnah, that you could continuously repeat psukim even that are not intrinsically repeated. So that's not necessarily the case. In other words, we could have really said the exact opposite. We could have said that from An Hashem Hayishiyana that we repeat is to teach you that if you're going to double, that you could double, and from An Hashem Hatzlichana that if the katan is being makre, that then you would have to repeat the words. It's just teaching us that it wasn't for nothing that they retained some of these elements of how it originally was done, although we're all being Gomer Hal ourselves, we are saying it ourselves, we don't have to answer anything, but that we do answer it is just to teach us these halachas, just to know, and it alludes to the ideas. Now, that's why, but it's not actually that this is where we learn that from, because it could have been exactly the opposite. And again, what one must keep in mind is, it's not exactly as the minig in many communities are today. On Hashem Hashiyana, we actually say on Hashem Hashiyana twice ourselves, and on Hashem Hatzlichana twice ourselves. It's not exactly what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara is saying on Hashem Hatzlichana that he would say, and they would respond. It wouldn't have to be that the person themselves would repeat it twice. And that's different of what the Gemara is describing over here. But what it was is that he would say once, and then they would respond once. That just itself would teach us the halacha that if in Balich V'Kaifel, if you want to repeat words that are not repeated, like Oit Hashem and Zehayim, which many communities do repeat today, although they're not actually repeated in the pasuk itself, one could go ahead and double that. A sixth halacha is Huay Mebarach Haba. He begins the pasuk. He says Barach Haba. Vehein Oimrim B'Shem Hashem, and they say, they conclude, they finish up the pasuk for him, and they say B'Shem Hashem. Now, what by the words of Baruch Haba, they rely on him. They don't respond Baruch Haba. They don't say the words themselves. They don't say Haluka. They're not doing anything, which Haluka would be some type of like saying Amen. Like it would be like affirming it by saying, by verbalizing it. They're not doing anything. They're just hearing him say Baruch Haba, and then they finish off the pasuk B'Shem Hashem. So Mekan, from here you learn that for somebody that doesn't know how to recite the words, and he doesn't even know how to respond, doesn't know how to say Amen, doesn't know how to say Haluka, that the Halacha teaches us, L'shemea ko'ina, that someone that hears, just hearing, is like you recited it yourself. And therefore, if you hear and you having intent to hear, so even if you didn't recite anything, you're fulfilling your chiyuv. Now Rashi tells us a practical application of this Halacha. If someone's davening b'tzibur, and he's in the middle of davening, and he hears the shliach tzibur, he's saying Kedusha or Yehi Shmei Rabbah, he should stop. He should be quiet in the middle of his tefillah, because he cannot say the words, because he's going to be mafsik in the middle of Shemayna Esrei, and therefore he should just intently listen. Now, Shemaya is Ka'ina, and when the Shatzdem finishes Kedusha, then he goes back to davening, and he brings from Yehuda Goin, from the Baal Halachas Kedailas. That's what one should do, because you're not being mafsik, because you're not saying the words, but you're listening, and therefore the listening is like you said it yourself, because of Shemaya Ka'ina, and therefore these are the different Chiyuvim, these are different Halachas, these six Halachas we could learn out, from the practices in the days of Rava, they understood that what the original halacha is coming to teach us, what it really is, although it wasn't applicable, because everyone said it themselves, but it was important to know these ideas that you can have. Shemei ka'ayna, if you want to repeat the words, you can repeat the words, and if it's a cotton that's being makre, then you would have to repeat the words, every single word. Those are some of the halachas which Rava taught us, what are hilchas agavirta, from what you could able to understand, decipher from the minig of the current day. Now, continuing on the last one of the ideas that he said that we see from Hal, which is Shemei Ka'ina, so the Gemara says, "Bayminim Reb Chibar Abba." They asked the following question from Chibar Abba: "Shom Avloy On the Mahu? What's halacha? Someone heard something but didn't respond. What's the halacha?" So Amalahu, so he said to them, "Chakimaya," which literally means like the Chachamim, the wise ones, "V'Safraya," which are those who teach the little children, "V'Reishayam," and the leaders of the people, "V'Dershaya," and those who expound. Amru, they said, "Shom Avloy On the Yotzer." If someone hears and he intently listens, but he didn't respond, he has fulfilled his obligation, whatever it is that a person has to say, he can fulfill it by Shemei Ka'ina. Ibn Ami, something that we learned, Amr Mishim Ben Pazim, Mishim Ben Levi, Mishim Bar Kapar, Minayin L'Shemei Ka'ina. Where do we know this halacha concept from? That although you have a chiv to say something, be it a bracha, be it tefillah, that just by listening, it's as if you responded and said it yourself. That's like I said, the Pasuk Malachim Beis says, and the proper Girsa is, es called Dvar HaSefer, that all the words of the Sefer, of the book, Asher Kara Melch Yehuda, which the king of Yehuda had recited, which this was in the context of the Sefer Torah that Chilkiah HaKohen found, which is brought in the Sefer Malachim. So it says that, and this was in reference to the words that he recited. Now, on that, the Gemara's question is, Chiyeshiyo Karan? Is it really true that Melch Yehuda, who is Yeshiyo, that he recited these words of the Sefer Torah, which was told about the Teichacha, which was told about the bad things that are going to befall the Jewish people? Balei Shafan Karan, it wasn't him that recited, it was Shafan that recited. Just like it says in the pasuk over there, Vayikru'ehu Shafan lefnei ha-melech, Shafan recited in front of the king. Ella, rather, from here the Gemara concludes, Mekan l'shemei ka'ina. From here you see the halachic concept, the pasuk is telling you itself, it's saying that Shakar Yeshio, which Melch Yehuda, which the king of Yehuda, Yeshio, had recited, but the pasuk says he didn't recite, it says he just heard Shafan reciting it. Obviously, Shemaya is coined as if he literally said himself. Now the Gemara asks on that, the Dilma busted the Karan or Shafan, maybe it's not true. Maybe there was two things. Maybe he heard Shafan, but after Shafan had recited, Kar Yeshayo, he himself recited, and that's why it says, Ashakar Melch Yehuda. So in that Amar of Acha Bar Yaakov says, Loi Sagadaitach. You cannot entertain that to say that he himself recited, and that's why it says Ashakara. Because the pasuk there says, Yan Rach Lavavcha, because you were soft of heart, Fatikana, and the Gemara says, Mepnei Hashem B'Sham Acha, and you were humbled in front of Hashem when you heard, which the diyuk is, B'Sham Acha V'Loi B'Karacha, that it's when you heard these words of the Teicha, but you didn't recite it. Obviously, he never said it, he just heard it, and still the pasuk is calling it that he recited it. Must be based on the halachic principle of Shemeya Ka'ina, and therefore, like what was brought by Rava before, that one could be Yaitza for the Chiyuv of Hal, with Shemeya Ka'ina by just hearing the words. Even if he doesn't know how to say Haluka, he has still fulfilled this Chiyuv based on Shemeya Ka'ina. Now, continuing on this halacha of Hal, Amar Rava, Rava says the following halacha. Says, regarding someone that doesn't have someone else reciting it for him, he's saying the words of Hal himself. That Rava says, Loileme Inish Baruch Haba. A person should not say the Pasuk, which is one of the Pasukim in Hal. He shouldn't say Baruch Haba. Take a breath, V'hod B'Shem Hashem, and then continue the Pasuk of saying B'Shem Hashem. Which, because what that seems like, that the name of Hashem, which is supposed to go back before, it looks like you're just saying it, what's called Levatala, for naught, because it sounds like it's Baruch Haba is one thing, blessed is the one that comes, and then he took a breath. And then B'Shem Hashem, the name of God, what does it mean the name of God? You're just taking Hashem's name in vain. Rather, when one's saying the pasuk, he should say it together. In one breath, he should say, Baruch Haba B'Shem Hashem, blessed is he who comes in the name of Hashem, because or else it sounds like you're saying, Shem Hashem Lovatal. And the Mashal takes out the next words in the parentheses, and we continue on top of Lam Testament Alf. Now, Amar Rava, Rava says similarly. He says, Leilema Inish Heshmei Rabba. A person should not say, may the great name, Vahadah, and then say, Mevarach, that it should be blessed. Elo, Yeheshmei Rabba, Mevarach Badadi. Rather, he should say it together. Because or else it seems like that, what? What do you mean? Yeheshmei Rabba, his name should be, the name, it will have a different context, different understanding at all. And then Mevarach, it would sound like it's saying something totally different. Rather, you say it together, Yeheshmei Rabba, Mevarach, that let his great name be blessed. Amli Rav Safa said to him, he said, Moshe, which is a term of when you're talking about the great people of the generation, like a title, like how great Moshe Rabbeinu was. Hey, Moshe. So he's talking to him. He says, Shapa, comrade, you think you're saying very well? You think you said appropriate? That's not true. Ela hasam v'hacha, rather, both that halacha that you said before, Baruch Haba B'Shem Hashem, and over here regarding Yeheshmei Rabba Mevarach, that since his intent is to conclude the pasuk, Sasuki Milsu, it's a conclusion of what he's saying, V'les Lombai, we're not concerned about that. If someone takes a breath, it doesn't seem like it's two totally different things, and it's okay if someone takes a breath, that it'll still be understood in the context of the larger pasuk, and even if he says Baruch Haba, takes a breath, he could conclude B'Shem Hashem, and it doesn't seem like he's saying B'Shem Hashem, Levatal.